Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
Yo guys, what's going on? James Gutman, you found your way to part two of JG's Radio Free Insanity from March the 10th, 2006. Good deal because you're here just in time. We're about to be joined on the phone line by the phenomenal one, AJ Styles from TNA, getting ready for a big pay-per-view on Sunday, or had a big pay-per-view on Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this, where he took on Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, for the X Division title. Really excited to have AJ Styles on. AJ Styles, one of these guys, really has seen a lot in his career. He's been in WCW. He had a developmental contract offered to him by WWE. Didn't take it. Went to TNA. He's been there since day one. The first X Division champion, multi-time World's Heavyweight Champion. So really cool to have him on. Very excited about it. We're going to have him on here in just a minute. Let me give you guys some updates on the book, too, just for those of you who are asking. World Wrestling Insanity, the book, now available, as we said before, at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's actually available anywhere where you're going to be able to buy books. People have asked me if it'll be available in stores. Yes, it will be available in stores. You can go to your local bookstore, and you can walk in, and you can read some of it until they say, you're going to buy that, and then they throw you out. And so don't do that. Just buy the book. That'll be available, too. Really excited about the way things are coming together with it. One of the main things about this book that I want to make totally clear, because I want to make sure everybody knows this, this book is not a McMahon bashing book. Actually, a lot of people tend to kind of think that just because, well, it's called World Wrestling Insanity, and the cover has Vince and Stephanie pointing to a big statue of Triple H. One of the things, and you don't have to believe me or not, that I've always tried to do in my writing, and especially with the website, is keep things fair, not only to WWE, but to TNA, to Ring of Honor, to any single person that we cover, any single promotion or person that we cover. We keep everything above the belt, try not to really get too personal in any attacks on anybody, really no reason to. It's wrestling, so I'm not really too pissed off about anything anyone does. But we try to keep the book kind of fair. When the McMahons, in my opinion, deserve to be praised, I praise them. When they deserve to be criticized, I criticize that too. And that's all in the book. So if you're looking to pick it up and you think it's going to be a negative slam fest, where I'm like, I don't like Vince McMahon's shoes. Like, no, I don't do that. But by the same token, it's not going to be, you're not going to pick it up and get flowery, wonderful things too. I give you guys straight up how I feel. And that's a big thing that, it comes out a lot about negativity online is, are you negative? Are you positive? Why can't you be more positive? I tell you guys how it is, in my opinion, how I feel about a particular thing. If I like it, I like it. If I don't like it, I don't like it. But one of the things, and in the book it's there, and it's there on the site, I try to give constructive criticism. I try not to give destructive criticism. I will not just turn around and tell you, Triple H sucks. I don't think he sucks, and even if I did, that's not constructive. The whole idea is telling you guys why I think a storyline is bad, why something doesn't work. And sometimes, and for those of you who follow the site for a while know, it gets to the point sometimes where it's almost insulting your intelligence, where I'm explaining why something that's so blatantly counterproductive to business is counterproductive to business. And I can't count how many times I've actually said, I feel silly even explaining to you why this is a bad idea, but it's part of what we do. I try to keep things above the board. So people have asked about the book. That's going to be in it. There's stuff about the McMahon family, stuff about how everything is run in the company. A lot of the things drive them as people. A lot of the reasons why they were able to create this empire that they have. And I think that's something important to remember, too, is that the McMahon's personalities have, even the things that people think are negative about their personalities, they've all kind of worked together to create this empire that they have. So we look at that, and I kind of examine where a lot of that comes from, a lot of the storylines, and just the business as a whole. A lot of the backstage stuff, a lot of the way the boys interact with one another, a lot of the ways that the promotions interact with you, the fans, and a lot of ways that the wrestlers interact with each other on screen, especially when it's written for them by somebody else. So that's all in the book. It's fun. There's sarcasm. There's, funny stuff. There's informative stuff. There's things that you didn't know, things that, I have never seen reported anywhere else. I mean, that's all in the book. But for the most part, it's an overview. It's not a slam book. It's not an anti-WWE book. It's a book about my opinions on WWE, how I see it, and a lot of things that I think I, if I were a fan buying a book, I mean, I am a fan, but if I were a fan who's not me buying a book, I would want to read. So that's why I kind of put it together. I love a lot of the stuff that's come out in the last few years. I've read a lot of the books that have been out. And when I put this book together, I went out of my way and I said, I want to make sure I kind of give readers something that they haven't really seen all that much of. So that's what's in here. So it's fun in that sense. There's the Photoshop pictures. There's the funny stuff if you like that. There's educational stuff if you're looking for things that you didn't know before as far as how things work and things like that. There's news and info and things that haven't been reported anywhere else. That's in the book too. And the one main thing that I went out of my way to do is bring in different stars from the wrestling industry who kind of encompass a whole spectrum. I mean, is everybody in there? Amy Weber to, you know, D'Lo Brown to Elix Skipper to Terry Funk. I mean, it's all, you know, the young, the old, the female, the male. People have been in WWE, like WWE, don't like WWE. They're all in the book giving their opinions because so often I would always hear, you know, oh, well, you know, the book was good, but, you know, it's from a person who wasn't in the industry. And I knew that I would be hearing that because I'm not in the industry. You know, you don't see me on Raw. I report on Raw. I'm not on Raw. So what I did was I went out and I tried to get some opinions from people who were there, people who experienced it, and people who have been in the industry and have opinions on how things run. So that's in the book, too. So, guys, I'm telling you, top to bottom, I think it's one of the more complete looks at WWE, and I'm very excited about it. I think anybody who knows my writing knows that I try to put 110%. I shouldn't have said that. I hate going over 100%. I try to put 100% into everything that I do when it comes to the writing online. And you got to figure, if I bust my ass as bad as I do to try to give you guys the best possible Raw and Saturday report, just imagine what I did when I knew I was putting out a book that you guys are going to be paying for. So hopefully you get a chance to check that out. I think you really like it. Start clearing up some of the questions about it in the next few weeks as we get closer and closer to the release date at the end of May. So make sure you go over, check it out, pick it up right now actually on Amazon. Out of all the pre-ordered wrestling books, World Wrestling Insanity is the top ranked. So I really appreciate that from you guys. It's the number one wrestling book being pre-ordered right now. So thank you to all of you who have made that happen. I really appreciate it. And believe it or not, we're actually getting set for our six-month anniversary here at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. The end of this month, on March the 29th, will be 6 months since we've opened our doors and began the Insanity, and it's been a great ride. And yeah, well, let me watch some stuff up on the site and some exciting things going on with that too. So very happy with a lot of things we have going on, but mostly happy about the fact that we are about to be joined on the phone line by the first ever X Division champion, multi-time NWA champion, and, well, all around phenomenal AJ Styles. AJ, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Just taking a break.
It's great to have you on, dude. Great to have you on. Gearing up, you got a big pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yep, it's definitely going to be a good one. We got the Ultimate X coming up with Destination X, so it should be something different with Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels. It's going to be a great match, as always, but then again, you know, a lot of people are wondering what Samoa Joe's going to do at 280 pounds, whether or not he can shimmy across those that X and get the title. You know, you never know.
Well, I mean, this is actually, you guys, you, Chris, and Samoa Joe put on a great match last year to the point where, you know, it was right up there for match of the year. Going in now, when you go into these rematches, is it kind of tough with the pressure of, you know, that people are looking at you guys to either out-deliver the last one or steal the show?
Well, yeah, I mean, because you always want to do better than your last match, and it's sometimes it's just really hard to top that last one, on, you know, or even the one before that. But thank God this is a totally different match, so there's something, you know, hopefully exciting or something they've never seen before in this match, you know, that's going to happen, and that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you've become, we were saying earlier in the show, you've become kind of, you know, the franchise, the name that people remember when they think of TNA. You were the first TNA X Division champion. And one of the things that really people have to look at with your career is that right before TNA, you actually turned down a contract with WWF at the time.
That's correct. But, you know, we got to understand, and I've told this story 100 times, that this was a developmental deal for $500 to move to Cincinnati. I was married. My wife is in college. Still am married, but she's in college. You know, that's just not, it wasn't feasible to have her move back in with her mother and maybe, you know, move to Cincinnati and live there. It's just, you know, family comes first, you know, before your job. And that's what I did.
Oh, absolutely. No, what I was going to ask you is that it's almost like you made, in a lot of people's eyes, the perfect decision, because you kind of have that style about you that it looks like you would be one of the characters that WWE would maybe have a hard time pushing, whereas you've kind of become the face of TNA in the meantime.
Well, I guess I was just, I got lucky, man. I mean, that's what it comes down to, that TNA was a totally different wrestling organization. I mean, we have pride in the fact that everyone on our show can wrestle. And I'm not saying, you know, we have entertainment, we have the wrestling, we have the flyers, anything you want, we have it on a show. When WWE is a lot different, because I would say they're more entertainment than anything. And at this particular moment, I don't think they're doing much of entertaining anyway.
No, absolutely, man. I mean, that's actually the funny aspect that you have going in, is that they have guys on the card and on the roster that can wrestle, but it seems like a lot of them kind of end up spinning their wheels for a while.
Well, and I guarantee you, these are the same guys that would love to come wrestle at TNA because they are able to have great matches. And I think it's only a matter of time before more start to come over.
Well, absolutely. Well, one of the things about TNA that people are noticing now is that it seems like within the last year, you guys really went and became a real viable contender against WWE. I mean, in the beginning, everybody was predicting TNA's downfall, you know, every single week. At what point did you guys hit where you kind of looked around you and said, you know what, I think this thing is going to be a long-term success?
I mean, even, you know, like you said, as soon as it started, oh, it'll be done in 3 months. And it almost was, I mean, but even after that, it was, oh, 3 more months, you'll be gone, or 6 months, you'll be gone. And we kept hearing this, and finally, I just started ignoring it because, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. If it's going to go under, you know, surely I'll know about it before any of the other guys will. But, you know, I guess when I thought, hey, this is really going to work, is when we got Fox Sports Net, that we were really starting to take off. And I really thought we'd grow with Fox, but you know what? Thank God Spike was there and, you know, was able to provide us a place on their station to have wrestling, and maybe they were a little agitated at the competition for what they did, you know, to them. Mm-hmm. And we're still excited about wrestling, which is a great thing. I mean, you never know if they were just, I guess, poisoned by the taste of wrestling because of what happened.
Oh, exactly. Well, I mean, as a guy telling people what you do for a living, it's got to be a lot cooler to be able to tell people that you're on a wrestling program that's on Spike TV as opposed to before, where it was, you know, Fox Sports. And it's definitely a step up.
Well, you know, most of the time people are like, well, I don't really have Fox Sports Net. You know, I don't really get that. And everybody gets Spike. So it's just a great thing. And it's getting even better with the, you know, second week in April. I do believe we're going prime time. So it gets better.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, I mean, with the last couple of weeks, we had Christian Cage and Samoa Joe on, and we were talking about how they actually were the guys that have chosen TNA later on instead of WWE, and how at this point, I think a lot of fans are starting to take notice, and now with this Spike TV primetime deal, it's finally starting to feel a little bit closer to the wars that we had years ago.
And I think it's only a matter of time, and like I said before, I mean, with the guys that we have right now, I don't know how many people have seen Samoa Joe or Christopher Daniels before. I mean, they've seen Christian Cage before, but, you know, what about the guys they haven't seen? And when they do, holy crap, you know, it's just amazing to see these guys work, and it's just going to get better.
Yeah, well, definitely. Well, we were saying before about the Monday Wars. You were with WCW right at the tail end when you and Air Paris were air raid going for the Cruiserweight Tag Team titles on WCW towards the end. Now, you were there right at the very end, right?
Yep. And I appreciate if you didn't bring up air raid again. Oh, God, I hated that gimmick.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man. Well, it was the fact, you know what made me mad is that they changed my name to Air Styles, and that made me so mad that they were going to try to cover up my body because of the way my partner looked, you know. But thank God, you know, that was a blessing that, you know, even though WCW went under and I was, you know, a little depressed about that, thank God that, you know, air raid wasn't a factor. Honestly, my feud started picking up with Christopher Daniels after WCW. That was really what got my name out there.
Mm-hmm. But what was your relationship like with Paris? You still talk to him, or is that just...
I don't hardly ever talk to Paris. You know, on occasion, maybe I'll see him at a show or something like that. And we're still good friends, but it's just been so long ago, you know, we've changed. We've grown up, and he went his way, I went mine, and, you know, like I said, we're still friends, but we just don't get the opportunity to talk that much.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Chris Daniels, too. That's a guy that you've kind of come up with, and I think a lot of people, they almost kind of put you guys together when they mention one, they think of the other, too. That must be cool for the two of you now being in a position where your matches that you've been having for years are in a high-profile setting, kind of being showcased on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, you know, when I think of our relationship and stuff like that, I think of kind of like what maybe Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, those guys had, you know, back in the day when they were both, you know, or all of them were coming up together. And, you know, I kind of like to think of, you know, we probably have the same relationship, you know, like brothers kind of, with even, you know, with Joe being in that, that category as well. But, you know, it's really cool that we both worked hard to get to where we're at, and we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you're being rewarded finally for wrestling ability, where for so long promotions have kind of been telling people that it's not about the wrestling, it's all about, you know, how what kind of acting you can do and things like that. And you guys are getting noticed not necessarily for backstage skits as much as for your in-ring ability. That's got to be kind of a good vindication on your part that you made a, you know, wise choice.
Well, I think that wrestling's came, you know, it's come full circle, where it was about wrestling, then it went to entertainment, now it's back to wrestling again, and that's definitely good for us, and, you know, and it, when it, the entertainment part gets there, you know, we'll have to step it up and be entertainment, but, you know, it's nice to get noticed for being athletes, and that's basically what it is. I mean, we're not going out there and just doing stupid stuff, and that doesn't make any sense, but we're going out there and showing that we're athletes and telling good stories, and that's what people want to see.
Now, you were the first X Division champion in TNA, and I remember in the beginning there was a lot of people didn't really fully understand the whole idea behind the concept. How was it first explained to you, and did you think it was a good idea when you first heard about it?
Well, I did think it was a good idea. I kind of didn't understand it fully, and even now I'm wondering what makes you X Division, because there's definitely some other guys who are big who can do the kind of the style that the X Division requires, I guess, but most of the time it's a bunch of, you know, they're smaller guys. I would say that me, Chris Daniels, and definitely Joe are the bigger guys in the X Division, so... You know, I think it's great because it's totally different, and we're not saying that it's for cruiserweights. Anybody can do this, and Joe's definitely shown that, you know, what X Division material looks like. It's doing stuff that not everybody can do, and not everybody can do some of the stuff that Samoa Joe can do at 280 pounds. And it's definitely impressive to see some of these other guys do the stuff they do in the X Division.
Yeah.
You know, I can't exactly wrestle with Chris or Sabin the same way that I wrestle with Abyss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's what, you know, what makes a good wrestler, one who can do either one of those styles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's one of the things that we've noticed about you is that I some of the best matches that you had, I think, were matches that it doesn't really matter if you're in the X Division or going for the world title. I remember you had that one match with Loki, on, it was still when they were doing the Wednesday pay-per-views, and I think you were, right, the champion at the time. I remember that match, and one of the things that I noticed about that match is that you guys were able to put on a very exciting kind of match, but there weren't really a tremendous amount of high spots. You were able to actually put on an exciting match while doing some mat wrestling and things like that. Do you think that's something that wrestlers are losing sight of nowadays? Because with WWE, they say, well, we have to slow down our style, and people automatically think that means headlocks and rest holds. Do you think that kids today don't really fully understand that you can go out there and put on an exciting match without kind of throwing yourself off of buildings every time?
Well, trust me, they don't understand it. I've been to some indie shows where I could just kill some of these indie wrestlers. It was just ridiculous. And sometimes, you know, I've watched matches with guys who haven't, how can I put this, were they started the same time I did. They just didn't develop by wrestling different guys who knew what they were talking about, like I have, to fully understand the psychology of wrestling. And it's sad to see that, you know, that people, they don't learn, you know, as they get older in the business and get more years under the belt, they don't feed off guys who know what they're talking about. I'm lucky because I've had people like Jerry Lynn and Chris Daniels that I've got to learn from. And some people haven't been that lucky, but, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it just is like, are you kidding me? Are you, you know, but what do you do?
I mean, do you think it comes down to kind of the fact that a lot of these guys get into wrestling in the late 90s and they just took the things from it that they thought a wrestler should be as opposed to kind of learning full circle what goes into the psychology and the whole thing?
I'm sure that's the case. I mean, it takes time. It's about experience and it's about learning. I mean, you never stop.
What's it like for you now? Because you definitely, in a short period of time, I mean, we're the same age. I'm 28. And I know that you kind of went from being, you know, a young guy in the business to suddenly, you know, being looked up to in the locker room. Is that kind of weird having guys come up to you, the new guys kind of come up to you for advice and asking your opinions?
Yeah, and the fact that I'm one of the older guys now, because we do have a lot of younger guys. I mean, when you think about Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, Sanjay Dutt, Petey Williams, these guys aren't old at all. They're in their early 20s. And I remember I used to be that guy, you know, and it was always nice being that guy because, you know, if somebody fed you a compliment, you're like, yeah, and I'm young too. So yeah. I don't get that anymore because I'm the older guy. But it's neat. It doesn't bother me getting older. That's just a part of it. That means I just, you know, get to learn more, get more, I guess, experience and a little bit more wise.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, you mentioned Jerry, working with Jerry Lynn early on, but who else would you credit kind of some of the older stars that you went to early on in your career that helped you out?
Let's see, I mean, I got to credit everybody I've ever wrestled. Yeah, people like, you know, you probably don't even know, is like Eddie Golden. He just showed me some stuff, you know, he showed me how to be a heel. And that's why a lot of people don't understand, you know, what a heel was supposed to be. This is a guy who cheats to get what he wants, and he's always cheap-shotting, finding ways to get around the rules, bend them or break them if he has to. And he was able to show me that, and I never forgot it. And like, you know, Jerry Lynn, of course, Chris Daniels has amazing psychology, just the flow of a match. But everybody I've ever wrestled has always helped me.
Now, do you prefer wrestling as a heel or as a babyface?
It's a lot. It's you know, it's real. That's hard. It seems like some of the times when you're a babyface, you're a heel anyway, because people, you know, don't like seeing that babyface too much. The heel is always fun. You know, just if you can get people to hate you, it's always fun to get them to do that. And you know, I would say it's probably harder to be a babyface.
Yeah, to get people to continue to cheer for you.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, that's the whole John Cena complex, I guess it is.
Exactly.
Get booed out of the building. Do you think that it's kind of almost like a lose-lose situation because a lot of times the fans are conditioned to kind of try to be, you know, the bad guys and boo the baby faces, and then the promotion, thinking that means they should be a heel, turn them, and then people start cheering for them after that.
Yeah, it's really weird. You don't know what to expect from them. And, you know, I've had that happen to me several times that they would boo me, and I'm like, what'd I do? You know, why am I the bad guy all of a sudden? So makes me want to turn heel, you know, I'll tell you that. But it's just hard. It depends where you are. It depends what you do. Like, you can go to a different country, and they'll love you, but you may go to a different state, and they hate you. So you never know what to do.
Whatever pops up.
It's frustrating. It really is.
Well, I mean, that's why, I mean, a lot of these guys, you kind of understand it when these promotions freak out, and they say, oh, we know what the fans want. It's always kind of like the big response, and, you know, to fans, it always seems to make sense, but you kind of see it. You see a lot of these guys go from being, you know, the most popular guy in the house, and then next thing you know, they're getting booed out of the building, and no one can really figure out why. It just happens one day.
I don't know if it's they realize either they're not very good, or I don't know. Usually that's the case, but I don't know. You never can tell. I would love to ask them, hey, what do you hate about AJ Styles so much? You know?
But what's cool about it that I think a lot of wrestlers fail to realize too, and I see it with you guys, is that if you are a good solid performer, usually even if you have a gimmick that's just absolutely horrible, it doesn't take much if you really put on a good show to get kind of that standing ovation at the end of the day. I mean, as somebody who wrestled for Ring of Honor, I mean, obviously that's a different kind of set of fans there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you definitely got to come ready to, you know, get in the game when you go to Ring of Honor. You don't want to go in there and mess up or do something stupid, because the fans will let you know that you mess up or something looks stupid. They'll let you know. It's a hard crowd sometimes.
Oh, definitely. I mean, when you wrestle in Ring of Honor, do you ever try to alter some of the things you do before you go in there, knowing that that the reaction might be a little bit different than, say, to a TNA crowd?
Sometimes it is a little different, but not so much that you have to change a whole heck of a lot. I mean, there's once you get the respect from the Ring of Honor fans, I think that you'll always have it. And I think that I've gotten that far with Ring of Honor. So they're a little bit lenient towards, you know, if I mess up, then maybe they won't yell at me too much. But I would say it's worse for guys who are just coming up. You know, that's got to be harder for them than anybody, even, you know, with TNA. But there are definitely guys that are doing really well. You know, Jay Lethal's came into TNA, and the fans seem to, you know, they love him. So,
well, let me ask you this. Coming up, one of the things about you that a lot of people know is that your faith. You've worked with Vince Russo in his Ring of Glory promotion, and things like that. Is it hard to kind of keep that, you know, your faith prevalent in your life when you're in a business like this?
Absolutely. I mean, you're around girls half dressed and they look really good. I mean, and you know, the guys are partying out, you know, all the time. And yeah, absolutely, it's hard, but luckily, you know, I think I got a lot of that out of my system when I was in high school, and it, you know, I don't have to deal with it anymore. I know that, you know, I guess the penalties or, you know, what happens, you know, when you are done drinking or whatever, man, it's just not worth it to me.
What do you think it's going to take to finally kind of clean up, quote-unquote, the industry, not necessarily TNA, but just in general, just kind of clean up a lot of the things going on in the business?
Well, I think for the most part, you got to clean up what's on TV. And like you said, I don't think that, you know, we're necessarily talking about TNA. Not that TNA doesn't have its faults, but I think that, you know, WWE probably has a lot more than we do. And I guess that goes for what they see on TV. I mean, honestly, I try to watch, you know, WWE sometimes, and I'm like, I'm sick of seeing girls. I just want to see wrestling for once. And I guess, you know, they're talking about how great, I don't even know what the other chick name is, but she just got on Playboy.
Oh, Candace.
And I'm like, whoop-dee-doo. Who cares? Because I could care less. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know who this chick is, but they're absolutely, you know, trying to, you know, break her out as a superstar with, I believe, Christy Hemme. It was the same thing.
Yep.
And where is she now?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think what's funny about it is that, you know, to bring in a girl like Christy Hemme, I think, you know, a little bit before that, they had released so many people all at once, and she ended up being somebody who was here one day and gone the next. It's almost like they're trying so hard to focus on something besides the wrestling, and it's continuously not working, but they still continue to go for the same thing.
And it's weird that, and I've also heard rumors that she was coming to TNA. So these of course, are rumors, because I don't know either. But I don't know, man. It's weird how all that stuff happens. You know, you just never know what to expect.
Well, how would that? I mean, we talked earlier about you turning down the WWE contract, the developmental contract. But if you were a member of WWE and you were approached, or even in TNA, with a storyline that kind of went against your beliefs, I mean, do you think that would ultimately affect you if you ever did decide to wrestle elsewhere?
I'm sure it would. I've never had to go through that with TNA. They always know what it's all about, you know, or what I'm all about, and they've never asked me to do anything that, you know, I never felt comfortable with. Yeah, I would say that it would definitely be a big factor on whether or not I sign with, you know, whoever. I mean, not necessarily WWE, but, you know, wherever I last want.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you came up watching wrestling. You watched when you were younger, right, throughout your life?
Mm-hmm.
Who were some of your influences as a kid when you were watching?
That's hard.
Or favorite wrestler, or it doesn't have to necessarily be somebody that
you... Well, I didn't get to watch a lot of it, but what I did watch, you know, was always the Road Warriors. I was a huge fan of the Road Warriors.
Oh, cool.
Not that they were big influences in my life, because, you know, they were a tag team, but Hawk was, you know, I was always a big fan of him just because he does the clothesline off the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a dying art form, that whole tag team wrestling right now. Just, I mean, yeah. you guys have some people there, but, I mean, it's really, by and large, just going downhill.
As far as, I think that just kind of fell by the wayside a little bit, but I'm sure it'll pick back up, you know. I remember when Triple X was together and AMW were having great matches in TNA and made me a big fan of the tag team. Wishing I was in them, mm-hmm. just because they're having so many great matches. But I'm sure I'll be back on top, you know, just like anything else.
It kind of comes and goes in those cycles.
Though. Absolutely.
Yeah, they push it for a while, then it's gone. One question I ask almost anybody that's on the show, if you could pick anybody from history in wrestling to have a match against at any time, who would it be?
Wow. I would say, not just one guy, but go back in that era when it was, you know, Liger and Benoit and Eddie and Dean Malenko and all those guys were coming up at the same time. And, Fit Finley was in there, Too Cold Scorpio. I would love to be in with those guys. With, you know, Chris Jericho was also in there. I would love to have came up with those guys and got to wrestle in front of those big old crowds, not really in the States, but in Japan, for the junior heavyweight title in New Japan. I think that would have been some of the best matches that I would ever have gotten to have. So I would definitely, I guess, back in the day, I'd love to have been able to wrestle all of those guys.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of fans would probably agree with you, too. Last thing I want to ask you, one thing that I know about you that I kind of share with you is that I'm into video games, just like you. What are some of the games that you're playing now? What are some of the video games that you're into? What are some of the games that you're good at?
I'm actually playing Fight Night Round 3 on the 360 right now. It's a pretty good game. I'm enjoying it. I'm still playing Madden 05. I'm not really happy about 06. Mm-hmm. So I'm still playing that. I'm on like year 2014, and I don't skip years. I play every game.
Oh, nice.
And college. So I actually go from college, let them graduate, and you know, go pro and put them in my mad game. So I play a lot of that still. I love most of the games for the Dreamcast. That was the most underrated system ever to be out.
Oh, absolutely. No, totally.
So,
you can't even find it anymore.
No, you know what? And I got a friend who gave me a collector's edition. It's called a Dreamcast, and it's from Japan, and it came with actually a TV screen.
Oh, yeah?
On it. So it's pretty neat. You know, you know what? I try not to neglect any of my systems, and I have them all.
Do you really?
And if I don't have them physically, I have them in my Xbox. So if you're talking about TurboGrafx-16, I have that in my Xbox.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
That's making sense. I have the modified Xbox, of course.
Oh, okay.
So you name it, I've got it. Because I just love video games, man. It's my parents' fault. They got me addicted at an early age.
Exactly. You know what? It was the Atari and then the Nintendo, and then from then on, it was just all downhill from
there. Yeah, I was ruined. First game I ever flipped on Atari was Asteroids.
Now, did you ever have Combat? Did you ever play Combat?
Absolutely, I played Combat.
Game, man. Once you get
Missile Command was another favorite game of mine.
Which one?
Missile Command.
Yeah, that's the thing about Atari, man. Atari had awesome, and nowadays they're charging $20 to people to plug the controller into their TV, and people are buying it. I mean, those things never get old.
Nope, it's always fun, man. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely, man.
And just for the record, the best wrestling games ever made were for the Nintendo 64 until 2007, when TNA's game comes out.
Dude, I can't wait. Any news on that at all? Or I mean, I know it's still kind of half-assed.
Well, I know that a couple of us are helping out with a video game, and we're going to give them some ideas. I think Sunday we're going to sit down and talk to some Midway guys and really knock some stuff out and tell them some ideas. Hopefully they'll like most of them, but the main thing is the play control. We want it to be easy to play like the Nintendo 64 games.
Absolutely. Well, SmackDown 06.
Well,
yeah, so, You know, I mean, it was good for about 10 minutes, and then I got kind of really old. So I know a lot of people have been looking for TNA's version of a wrestling game nowadays, because nothing really seems to be clicking lately.
Well, I don't like all the kick and punch games, and that's definitely what most of the wrestling games are now.
Exactly. Well, AJ Styles, big pay-per-view on Sunday. We want to thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to some of our listeners. Anything you want to say to your fans out there before I let you go?
I always say this, and I really mean it, that AJ Styles would not be here if it wasn't for the fans. So I thank the fans for just, you know, being who they are, being wrestling fans.
AJ, man, thanks so much for being on.
All right, thanks, brother. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
All right, guys, so AJ Styles taking time out before the TNA pay-per-view to talk to us a little bit about video games and the whole nine yards. As I say every week, the guests don't end here. They just keep coming. In fact, I did speak to somebody today. Might have early news on next week's guest early on in the week, actually, one of the few times. You won't have to wait until Tuesday or Wednesday. So hopefully maybe I'll have something up on Monday or Tuesday or so. But, yeah, a lot going on the site. And really, guys, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. Keep checking back. Keep coming back to JG's Radio Free Insanity, to WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, and I promise you won't be let down. So until we next meet, this is James Gutman saying, be well, folks, and thank you so much for sharing our insanity.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.